Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The GP is often your first point of contact when you find out that you're pregnant, and they remain a really important source of information and support right throughout that pregnancy. To talk to us a bit more about the role that they play, I'm joined on the line by Clare-based GP, Dr. Maura Finn. Hello, Maura.
Hi, Claire. Good morning to you.
Lovely to have you with us. And if people have questions for you, 51551, as I said, is the number for text messages. So we're going to focus mostly on early pregnancy today. Remind us about preconception, though. The best advice on supplements on diet before you conceive.
Yeah, so ideally you would be in the best health you could be, especially if you're planning a pregnancy. So that would really mean healthy diet in the general sense, like low fat, low salt, low sugar, no smoking, reduced alcohol, coffee, make sure you're exercising well. But if you are actively planning a pregnancy, or if you haven't planned and you find out that you're pregnant and it's a happy event, folic acid is a really essential supplement you should be on. And it's the normal 400 micrograms that you'd buy in any pharmacist, even in supermarkets, I think. And that is a supplement that actually protects the baby's neural tube development. And it's well documented and everybody should be on that. And vitamin D then is the other thing that we would usually recommend. But it's really about kind of good general health in the early part of pregnancy. We talk about this kind of critical window for health for a baby, which is the first 1,000 days of a baby's life. And that is from the moment of conception to about 2.5 years of age. So that includes that full pregnancy time. So the nutrition you take in keeps you healthy, which obviously helps support you during a pregnancy, but is also the fundamental building blocks for the baby itself, which is a wonderful thing when you think about it. It's an extraordinary kind of process. So
getting it all right from the get-go, and indeed beforehand. Yeah. So when someone finds out they're pregnant, I said at the beginning that usually the GP is the first point of contact with medical services that you might have. Mm. At what point do you think a woman should be popping into the GP to have that first conversation?
Usually as soon as they know. And frequently what we see is people come in with within a week or two of having a positive pregnancy test, sometimes very early because they may have had issues beforehand. It's a great privilege of general practice that you do get to share that journey with women. And what care is kind of called this shared antenatal care. So it's kind of split between general practice and your hospital appointments. And what happens is you have alternating appointments. So your first visit will be with your GP. And in that visit, you kind of work out the administrative side of things as to, you know, where somebody is going to be referred to. Are they going to go to a public hospital? Are they going to go private care? And you explain the process and what will happen in the hospital setting, which usually doesn't take place until maybe around 12 weeks, depending on each hospital has a different kind of process around that. So in the first visit, we do that. We explain the process. And we also just work out your menstrual history and your date of your last period, if possible. An awful lot of women have these flow apps now, which kind of make them really quite aware of their menstrual cycle. And that then will kind of give us an idea of how many weeks they are, how many, when they're due to deliver. If it's a late presentation, if they were over 12 weeks or into the second trimester, we may try and get them seen very, very quickly. And we discuss everything around that and when they would have a scan, when they would have blood tests, make sure their nutrition is optimal, including the folic acid and vitamin D, like I said. And we also give all that other information about things you can and can't do in pregnancy, which is very long and varied and changes a lot over. People will have funny ideas about things, but mostly it's about good quality food that you don't, you know, you make sure you avoid raw food, raw fish, raw meat, shellfish. It should be not filter feeders. Vitamin A in excessive amounts should be avoided. Unpasteurized dairy, so things like kind of the soft cheeses. And most people will know this, but it's nice to kind of go through all of that in the early part, just to kind of, you know, give them kind of more up-to-date advice.
Well, listen, on that, we've had a couple of people getting in touch when we said you were coming up this morning and asking about the things that they can and can't use. So hair dye is on that list. That's what people are asking about. Retinol that people might use on their skin. So what are the do's and don'ts in that regard?
Interesting. Retinol is a derivative of vitamin A, and high doses of vitamin A are actually what we call teratogenic. So they're actually dangerous to the fetus. Now, retinol you put in your skin is probably a very small amount, but we would usually say that it should be avoided, to be honest. And it is in an awful lot of skincare products. So Retin-A or even some of the ones that you buy over the counter. People would be familiar with Roaccutane, which is a very high dose vitamin A, which is used for acne. And it is an absolute no-no to get pregnant with that because it will cause damage to the fetus. So it's difficult to say with certainty because you see what happens now is things are not tested, obviously. You don't give somebody a cream and say, try this and see what happens, mm-hmm. you know. So we would generally say avoid retinols or any vitamin, high dose vitamin A derivatives. Hair dyes, I think really most of them are very safe now, and it depends on the person, but I would actually usually say there's no problem with that as long as they're good quality products and whoever is doing it for you, and especially in a salon, can stand over the product themselves.
Yeah, because they must have been a problem at some stage back in the day, because it does linger where people are afraid, have a fear around it.
Yeah, but an awful lot of the stuff that we hear about that is fear-mongering. You know, like people are very cautious about coffee, but I've actually done quite a lot of research into that to look into kind of meta-analysis about studies around that, and it's very inconclusive. It would appear that one or two cups of coffee is a very little... is of no danger at all. But it's a person's choice as well. If they're nervous, if they're going to be feeling, you know, for the whole time you're pregnant, for the minute you know you're pregnant, you're anxious that you're doing something wrong, aren't you? Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're a person who feels like that and you think that this might be something that I will worry about, then avoid it. That's the best thing. Alcohol as well is really not, there is no safe limit for alcohol.
Okay, so no alcohol. I was going to say with the coffee, you know, a lot of people, and I certainly wasn't able to stomach it when pregnant. Now, there'll be things that your body will just tell you can't have that because it won't taste right.
It's true. I think that's extraordinary. And it is. Nature has a way of telling you. It's like the cravings that we have. They're frequently misinterpreted by the, you know, what you feel they may be for. But they're often, like say people, you'll hear stories about people craving coal or a mineral of some sort. And it's frequently because they're anemic and they're looking for iron. It's you know, it's a misconception. You obviously shouldn't be eating coal, but they may need to be on an iron supplement.
Yeah.
So our bodies do have a way of telling us what is the right thing to do.
Now, painkillers, is paracetamol, this is from a listener, is paracetamol the only thing you can take for something like a headache?
Paracetamol is the only thing that we would actually recommend. There was some studies in the last couple of years that were linking it with some disorders, but we would always say paracetamol is safe. If you have a headache, I mean, first thing to do is drink a lot of water, because dehydration is a very common problem in pregnancy, because you're making a bigger blood volume. So you need to take more fluid in to actually kind of increase that blood volume. So drink more water, go out for a walk, get some fresh air. And if it's persistent, you could take a paracetamol. However, a headache, a severe headache, is a sinister sign in pregnancy as well. So if it is persistent and you're worried about it, go and have it checked out.
Okay, and I want to ask you this one, because I don't want this person worrying about what side they're sleeping on if they don't need to. This person says, I keep waking up on my right side. I've been told I shouldn't do this. What do you advise? I never heard that before.
Yeah, I've heard that. The logic of it is about putting pressure on the blood vessels returning to your heart and leaving your heart if you lie on, you know, but actually if you lie on your back, which nobody can do in the later parts of pregnancy because you have a bump that's pushing you down and you can't feel comfortable anyway. But the expanded uterus can actually put pressure on the aorta and the blood vessels. But really lying on your side is not of any significance.
Okay.
And she really should not be worried about that.
I'm glad we asked that question now, because that might be the difference between getting a good night's sleep and not. Now, another listener is out the other side, breastfeeding, which is going well, but it has caused her to lose so much weight, nearly 12 kilograms. That's a lot. I've upped my calories, but I still continue to get skinnier, which I don't like. Have you any advice?
Okay, more calories. It's the only answer to that. There may have been an issue, you know, maybe she was underweight pre-pregnancy. People, we're always trying to stop people worrying too much about weight gain during pregnancy, because it's absolutely inevitable and it averages around 2 stone or so. But if you're underweight to begin, you need to gain more. If you're overweight in the beginning of pregnancy, we would try and advise you not to gain too much. But breastfeeding is, you are literally, whatever nutrition you're taking into you are feeding most of that to the baby. And it is normal to lose weight, But what that person needs to do is take more calories in. They obviously need more. And the baby is taking everything and it's great. The baby's obviously thriving, but that person themselves is actually really struggling. And I would actually just more food every time they sit down. What I would always recommend is have a glass of water beside you every time you sit down to give a feed, because you need the fluids, but maybe have a snack as well if you can get one hand at that.
Okay, keep eating. What can you take for heartburn while you're pregnant, or is there anything you can do to prevent it? I'm getting PTSD now listening to this.
Yeah, likewise. Oh God, the heartburn can be really tough.
Desperate.
Some of it is when you lie down. Some of it actually is even early on in the very beginning of pregnancy, because some of the hormonal changes relax the stomach sphincter muscles. So the fluid or the stomach contents can come back up, and it's very uncomfortable. Things like Gaviscon and Rennie's are absolutely safe, and you can take them, and you can take bucket loads of them, but they're unpleasant. In more severe cases, we can prescribe medication, PPI medication, and it is safe. So it is so debilitating, and it can actually aggravate any nausea you have as well, because the nausea tends to be because you're hungry, and if you've got heartburn, you're kind of reluctant to eat. So I would actually kind of ask your doctor about it. If you're really struggling with it, there's things to do, and you should do them.
And your granny will say it's a sign of a baby with a great head of hair.
That's true.
Did you hear that one before?
Know. Oh God, yeah.
Listen, if it gives you comfort while you're going through it, just...
Oh, yeah. Whatever it takes.
If you're pregnant with your third child and your two previous pregnancies went over, so you were overdue, are you likely to go overdue again?
There's a very good chance you will. Though with subsequent pregnancies, you often do go earlier. We always say the first pregnancy is the one that's the latest. It depends on so many other different factors as well, of course, doesn't it? It's the size of the baby, it's your activity during the baby. You've got two babies at home, you're very, very busy, and you're probably lifting and lugging an awful lot more than you would have been in a previous pregnancy. So that might mean that you'd be more on time. But there's no way of knowing. It's one of those factors. You know, there's all sorts of old wives' tales about it, but we have no way of controlling that.
Okay, well, you just have to sit it out and wait for it to happen. And that's what we're going to be talking about the next time, isn't it, Maura? You're going to be back with us in 3 weeks' time. That's the 24th of April, when we'll be going through the late stages of pregnancy and the delivery.
Yeah. Perfect.
We'll be asking people to send in questions then about all of those issues. And if you want to get in ahead of that date, just email us todaycb@rte.ie. But for now, Dr. Maura Finn, thank you very much for being with us this morning. And that brings us to the end. Thank you for listening. You can catch up with anything you might have missed on the RTE Radio app. The programme was produced today by John Byrne, research by Amy Ryan. Our broadcast coordinator is Jarlath Holland. Liam Mullen was on sound. And a big thank you, as always, to the entire team on the show. Back with you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Have a lovely day. Let's go over to Louise.